So, being a voice artist, what's all that about? I grabbed an opportunity to speak to Jack Oddie. Jack, who's originally from Carlisle, loves his football. He follows the mighty Carlisle United and used to play rugby union. He lives in Newcastle upon Tyne and he has his own voice studio based at home. Relatively new to the voice industry, last year he won a prestigious award for Best Male Voiceover Performance at the Vox Awards. So the first thing I asked Jack was, how did he end up in the wacky world of being a voice artist?
Well, I started as a copywriter in radio. I was at CFM first, and then I went down to Gem 106, and then back up to Metro Radio. And I actually went freelance to initially set up my own little copywriting thing, and started getting asked to do bits of voiceover here and then, as I did when I worked in Radio 2. And as part of the copywriting thing, I built a studio because I was producing radio ads as well. And after about 2 years of that, it became apparent that the thing I was good at was the voiceover work. So about 2 years ago, I really went for it and sort of became a full-time voiceover.
That decision has done you really well, because back in November you were voted Vox here 2018 Awards Best Male Voiceover. So if that isn't
Best Male Performance,
I have to apologise. Get the award right, Carl. But at the end of the day, the decision you took has obviously justified that, hasn't it? Really,
I think so. It's been hard work, absolutely. It's been a decision that I've never regretted at all, and I'm still learning. I definitely consider myself quite new to it still, and still open to advice and to learn and things. But so far, so good.
Going back those 4 years, what was that first day like?
Petrifying. I just wasn't ready. I was quite naive. I didn't have an accountant. I didn't have many contacts. And I was actually going in for surgery about 2 days later. And I thought the surgery that I was having would put me off my feet for a day, even though the doctor said it's going to be quite painful and you're going to be off for a week. Well, I was off for 2.5 weeks.
Oh, great.
To be honest, it was a completely... It was a real stupid way to start a business, to be honest, but I got through it with a lot of pain.
I mean, you've done that. You've come 4 years down the line, and I bet your learning curve has been quite steep.
Yeah, especially really early on, because, you know, I had a basic studio knowledge, and then, you know, with the help of my mate Dan Black from Metro Radio, he helped me build a studio, and you learn how to build a studio, which is massively important, and you learn that things like Pro Tools don't behave themselves, and you learn about VAT, and you learn that it's tough out there, and you learn that you thought it was competitive, but there's tons of people trying to do it more than you thought. So huge learning curve, absolutely huge learning curve, and still learning, I think.
I suppose the other thing as well, though, with that, I mean, you're talking about this huge learning curve technically, but even like marketing yourself is going to be a whole new different ballgame, isn't it?
The thing about voiceover is there's so many things to go at. I've got a commercial radio background, which is a big chunk of the industry, and something that I could do better in, I think, myself, even though I know so many people in it. There's so many places to go and so many people to pick the phone up to, and you get nowhere. You really do get nowhere and for so many, but then obviously someone gives you a chance and hopefully you do a good job and they get you back for more, and I suppose that's how I've got my client base so far anyway.
Looking at all this and everything else, what do you enjoy about your job?
I absolutely love everything about it, really. The variety of stuff that you do is bonkers. I mean, you can be doing really serious and epic national TV promos, and then you're pretending to be a fairy 10 minutes later. And then, you know, it's just so that the stuff you get to do is, it's just fun. You're by yourself a lot, which is, I suppose, the one drawback, but you're in such a network of good people as well. There's always somebody to talk to and somebody to give you a bit of advice and someone just to sort of have a bit of a laugh with when you're quiet, I suppose.
Yeah, Jack, I really understand that. So as your life as a voiceover, what is your typical day like?
Probably isn't a typical day, but most days I don't normally know what's coming in. Sometimes I do. It's a bit unnerving sometimes. So I get up and take my dogs for a walk and then have some breakfast. And then I'm in the studio by 9-ish. And I do some boring housekeeping things. I do my banking and things like that. And you're just waiting for the phone to go. And you check your emails. And stuff quite often comes in overnight from abroad. And just waiting for a phone call. And sometimes they don't come. Sometimes loads of them come. It's absolutely bonkers. The other day, it was looking quite quiet, and I got a phone call. As a result, I'm going to London tonight, and I'm having the night in London, and I'm working in London tomorrow. Then I'm back up the road, and another day, I'll take the dogs out again, and it'll be another day of the unexpected.
It is quite random, isn't it, your job? And you just never, ever know what's going on. So we're 4 years down the line. You're now starting to get recognition on the TV last year, wasn't it, on Sky News? And I mean, that was unbelievable. I was sat there watching Sky News, like, what's Jack Oddie doing on the telly?
It was like anything that happens when you're working this. It just sort of happened very quickly. It was my agent rung me one day and said the Wall Street Journal would be interested in talking to me about accents in British voiceover, namely sort of TV stuff. The gist of her story was that there are various different accents in UK voiceover industry, which we knew that anyway. But the Wall Street Journal interviewed me and some other colleagues in the industry. And then I think it was The Times and The Guardian or someone like that picked it up, and I didn't know that after the Wall Street Journal published it. So I woke up one morning and I had messages on Twitter from Five Live and Talk Radio and things, and next thing I knew, I was doing ISDN down the line to Five Live about it, and then Talk Radio, and my agent rang me up again and went, oh, Sky News would like to talk to you about it. So I did a live link up with Sky News, which, to be honest, I completely fluffed my way through it. Kay Burley interviewed me, but yeah, it was nuts. It was completely bonkers, and it was like a few days just before I won that award, so it was a really weird week, actually, but I enjoyed it. It was good being on TV and things. But I think I'll stick to voiceover, though. I don't really have the face for it.
You were talking there about your agents. Is having an agent you feel really important as a voice artist?
Not necessarily. My agent's brilliant, though. I couldn't do half the things that I do without them. You know, half the bigger things anyway. They're really supportive of me. You know, I don't live anywhere near London, and it's not an issue. You can tell that they're talking you up, and I'm blessed to have them, and I'm really grateful. However, I think a voiceover would be lying in nowadays if they said you could make a living off just what your agent gets you, because you can't. So you've got to go out there and market yourself as well.
The different types of work you can do being a voiceover now are just unbelievable, aren't they? I mean, it's not just radio, it's not just TV.
Yeah, and I think it's about knowing what you're good at. I've never done a video game thing because I don't think I can pull it off really to as good as the guys that are, you know, really in the video game stuff. They're amazing, and I'm not. I'm good at other things, and that's where my focus is, and that's where I make my living from, really. But I think it's about choosing what to go for and being quite disciplined in that, I think.
As a voiceover, who inspires you?
Oh, well, some people are going to have to buy me some pints at Vox. Okay, so those of you who know Tom Turner, Tom Turner hired me in radio. And Tom is a very skilled writer, actually, but also an extremely good voiceover and just a bloody good guy. Sorry for saying that word. And he's sort of like 3 or 4 years ahead of me because he did it all a bit ago, and he's just, I just admire the way he works, to be honest, and the way he deals with people. John and Katie Rand are really helpful with me, and Sarah Starling, I've loads of chats with Graham Potter, Della and Abby Phillips. Loads of producers sort of inspire me as well, like there's a guy called Carl Svensson, don't know if you know him.
Never heard of him.
But there's too many to mention, really, but like I said before, it's an industry that is so supportive. That's the good thing about it. You can't help but be inspired by other people because there's so many successful, creative, intelligent, personable people.
In all the ads that you've produced,
yeah,
what's the one that's put a big grin on your face?
My mate Howard Young, him and I created this character called the MOT Fairy. Northern, husky, grown, slightly uncouth bloke who dresses up in his daughter's leotard and runs around northern towns shouting at people that the MOT's due and where to get it done, and then sparkles away as a fairy. I'm not going to do it for you because I'm not. I need a script. I wouldn't be witty enough without.
I will find the ad. Don't you worry. Yeah. I will find the
There's
ad.
There's a few.
It'll be something like this.
So, Les,
call me the MOT fairy.
The MOT.
Yeah, I dress up and shout at people whose MOTs are due for a living. What do you do? Hang on, love. Hey, Tony, over there on table 4 at speed dating.
What?
Your MOT is due and you need to take it into S&R Motors. MOT Ferris, sparkle away.
There you go. God, doesn't time fly when you're enjoying yourself? We better wrap this up, really, Jack. Just one more thing to ask, I guess. There will be some prospective voiceovers who will probably say, being a voiceover, easy life.
Replace easy with fun. It's a fun job and it's an enjoyable job, but it's hard work. At the end of the day, you are self-employed and you are reliant to put a roof over your head with this. So take it seriously. It's extremely competitive and, you know, and you're by yourself a lot. I mean, we spend our time talking in a padded room by ourselves. So, and if you've been doing sessions back to back all day, or if you travel to sessions, it's exhausting. I know that sounds pathetic, because you know you've got to arrive at these sessions and you've got to give your all. It's not easy, especially if you're doing. I bet some of the guys that do character stuff and things like that all day, they've got incredible stamina, and you've got to maintain this concentration all day, and you've got to be sharp and you've got to be on it, because the producer won't come back if you make a mistake after mistake. So. It's not easy for a lot of reasons, but it is incredibly fun and it is incredibly rewarding. I would say, as someone that's fairly new, that's still establishing themselves, if you're going to do it, take it incredibly seriously and do your homework.
Jack, thanks for chatting.
Pleasure.